From the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. If you look at that painting, The Return of the Prodigal by Rembrandt, you cannot see the son's face. It's buried there in the chest of his father. And while we can't see his face, we can see his tattered robe, his stringy hair. We can see mud on the back of his legs, the filth around his shoulders. Cast off to one side, an empty purse. One time that purse was full of money, just like one time that boy was full of pride. But that was a long time ago, and both the purse and the boy and the pride are now depleted. The son offers no gift, no explanation. All he offers is the smell of pigs and a rehearsed apology. Father, I've sinned against God and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That birthright that was his, one of two sons of this man, he's despised. He's thrown away. Years ago, when he asked for the part of the inheritance that was his, and left for the far country to live his own life. And now back he says, demote me, punish me, take my name off the mailbox, and my initials off the family tree. I am willing to give up my place at your table. Just hire me. Let me be the last one hired. The boy's willing to be a hired hand. There's only one problem. Although he is no longer willing to be a son, he's willing to stop being a son. His father is no longer willing to stop being his father. We can't see the boy's face, but we can't miss the father's. We see tears on that leathered old face, streaming on his cheeks. There's a bit of a smile that speaks through that stern demeanor of a proper gentleman of the community, who has thrown away all dignity as he's run down the road as the boy's coming home, and he recognizes him and he throws his arms around him. And you see, one arm holds the boy close so he won't fall, and with the other he holds the boy close so he won't doubt. And he says to a servant, hurry, bring the best clothes. Put them on him. Get a ring. Get sandals. Take the calf we fatted for an occasion and kill it and put it on the spit and barbecue it. We're going to have a party because my son was dead and is alive. My son was lost and now he's found. And the boy hears those words. My son! He's come home and said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. But there's that word on the lips
of his father. My son.
He thought he'd lost his place in the house. After all, didn't he abandon his father? Didn't he waste his inheritance? The boy assumed he'd forfeited his privilege of sonship. But the father doesn't give up that easily. His son is still his son. The child may have been out of the house, but he was never out of the father's house. He may have left the table, but he never left the family. Don't miss the message here as we pray, "Our Father." If we choose to leave Father's presence and say, "I'm no longer a child of yours," He's not willing to stop being our Father. And the moment we turn back down the road towards home, there He is, ready to receive us. God is not willing to stop being our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Now there's a word for Father that Jesus uses over and over again. The word He uses here in Greek is pater. It means literally father, the head of the house. All that we think about when we say the word father is captured in that word. But there's another word that Jesus uses. We don't see it in English because it's an Aramaic word, and we have to go to those who know the language and study the language and look at the original language of the Scriptures. The word is Abba. If you were in a Jewish home in Israel at this time, probably if you were in an Arab home at this time, and there's a newborn baby in the house, and the baby's growing, and the baby's making gaga goo goo sounds, and a little bit later the baby's making intelligent noises, in English he might be saying dada. But in Israel, in the Jewish home, in the Arabic home, the Aramaic home, he's saying Abba. And Jesus uses that word for Father over and over again. It's a precious word. Translated into English as Daddy. That's the word that Jesus uses over and over again when He says Father. Here He says, "Our Father who art in heaven," and identifies Him as the head of the house, as the father, as the progenitor, as who He is. But over and over and over again in the New Testament, He says, Abba. And let me back up just a bit and tell you about another God. In ancient times, there was Zeus and all of that pantheon of gods that we study in mythology. And one of them was named Prometheus. And Prometheus looked at humans and realized they didn't have fire, and Earth could be a cold place without fire. And so one day, in violation of the principles of Olympus and Zeus, he takes fire, takes it down, and gives it to man. Out of a burden in his heart, out of a compassion in his heart, he takes fire. And Zeus, who is the father of the gods and the father then of humanity, punishes Prometheus by chaining him to a rock in the Adriatic Sea, where all day long the sun beats down on him and he has unquenchable thirst. And at night the cold sweeps over his body. And if that's not enough, Zeus creates a vulture to come every day and eat Prometheus' liver. Tear it out of his body and eat it. And every night it grows back. And every day the vulture comes back.
That's the God, that's the Father that they were experiencing before God reveals Himself to Israel.
That's the attitude of the unseen world to the heathen population.
But then we discover a God to whom we pray, who has a name and the heart of a Father. And it makes all the difference in the world. We need no longer shiver and huddle before a horde of gods that at the slightest provocation will do something to us like Zeus did to Prometheus. God's known by many names in the Old Testament, but the name that seems to be the favorite is Father. I'm Israel's Father, Jeremiah 31:9. Is the Lord not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you? Deuteronomy 32:6. Oh yes, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are the work of your hands. Isaiah 64:8. And while Jesus is on earth over 200 times, as recorded in the four Gospels, he addresses God as Father. The first recorded words of Jesus, when they find him in the temple after missing him for 3 days, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2:49. And the final triumph, the final words from the cross in Luke 23:46, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." In John's gospel alone, it's repeated 156 times. And over again, the gospel uses that term, Father, or the personal one that Jesus used so often, Abba. And the interesting thing, the funny thing is, no Jew would have called God Abba. No Jew would have gone to prayer and said, "Daddy." He would have said, "Father." It would have been formal. Jesus calls him Abba. And the most astonishing point of the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus authorizes his disciples. He said, "When you pray, pray like this." And he authorizes us to repeat the word Abba. He gives them a share in sonship and tells them about this close relationship with God the Father that he calls Abba, in a way that a child would trusting his father. No Jew would have dared to address God like that. Jesus always did. And he spoke with God as a child, with his father, simply, intimately, securely, childlike, in manner, in faith, in confidence. Children can say Abba. First word most kids say, sorry ladies, is Daddy, in whatever language. And only he who through Jesus lets himself be given the childlike trust which resides in the word Abba finds his way into the kingdom of God. Now the second part of this phrase, Jesus says we're to pray like this, "Father, make your name holy." The King James Version from which I read this morning says, "Hallowed be thy name." And that's a petition. It's not a proclamation, it's a request, not an announcement. God, make your name holy. We enter into prayer and we say, "Be holy, Lord. Be hallowed, Lord. Do whatever it takes to be holy in my life." What an incredible prayer. Do whatever it takes to be holy in my life. Take your rightful place on the throne of my heart. Exalt yourself, magnify yourself, glorify yourself. You be Lord, and I'll be quiet. And one of the oldest versions of this prayer says, exalted and hallowed be His great name in the world, which He created according to His will. May He rule His kingdom in your lifetime and in your days, and in the lifetime of the whole houses of Israel, speedily and soon. And to this say Amen. Now I've printed on the back of the bulletin, if you've got a close turnover to that, some of the names of God. Father, make Your name holy. God was known by a lot of names in the Old Testament, and here are just a few of them. First, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Roi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. Like a shepherd, the Lord leads gently and cares for His people, the sheep of His pasture. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. He is the standard under which we rally as the people of God. He is our rallying point. Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. As He provided for Abraham at his point of need, so the Lord will provide for us at our point of need. Do you remember when Abraham and Isaac are going up on the mountain and God's instruction is sacrifice your son? And Isaac says, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the lamb? And Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rophi means the Lord heals. He heals in every way, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Jehovah Shema means the Lord is there. God is there where you need Him, when you need Him. There's no place where He's not. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. And through Him we find true inner peace, which is there even in the midst of the storm. When you're confused about the future, go to Jehovah Roi, your caring shepherd. When you're anxious about provision, talk to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Are your challenges too great? Seek the help of Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Is your body sick? Are your emotions weak? Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals you, will see you now. Do you feel like a scholar? Excuse me, do you feel like a soldier stranded behind enemy lines? Take refuge. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is your banner. Father, make Your name holy. Our Father who is in heaven, Father, make Your name holy. Do whatever it takes to be holy in my life. Take Your rightful place on the throne of my heart. You be Lord, and I'll be quiet. Amen.